to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean.
And here we are again.
I know, we took a week off.
Yeah, sorry about that. We just sort of ran out of weekend. It didn't work out for us.
Yeah, because usually, just for folks that are wondering, well, you don't really wonder, but if you did...
Let's pretend you care. Let's
pretend you did. Basically, me and Jen, on our weekends, we record our show, find a way to tape. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, kind of just, you know, sometimes we get busy. You know, we had places to go and things to do and blinds to buy. And, you know, we had a... What else were we doing?
I don't know. I feel like it just all of a sudden we didn't have a weekend and it was over.
Weekend went away. So
yeah. And wasn't there a pay-per-view?
There was a pay-per-view.
There's wrestling.
I was recording another episodes of my other podcast, I Could Talk Kayfabe, that I do with Joe Todaro, which you can now get on iTunes.
Yep.
So check that out. But me and Jen just got kind of busy, and we were like, well, we're going to try to do it this day, and then we couldn't. And then we tried to do another day, and we couldn't. Actually, we were trying to do it, I think it was on Tuesday.
Yeah.
We were able to tape and just, you know, get it out, but... Our
power went out.
Our power went out.
Until like 12:30 in the morning.
For like
so much for that idea.
No reason. And I think that was God's way of telling us that we are not to record a podcast this week.
Nope, not gonna happen.
So unfortunately we had to forego it. But we do appreciate, you know, you people
Sorry
listening, and you know, hopefully you guys will continue to stick around and listen to the show. You know, we didn't go anywhere.
No, we try not to miss, but sometimes we do.
Yeah, so life gets in the way.
But exciting news.
Oh.
Tomorrow. And I'm so excited for this.
Yeah.
So we live in L.A., as everybody knows. And there's this great indie theater. It's actually owned by Quentin Tarantino. It's the New Beverly. So if you're ever in L.A. and you want to see some, like, you know, old movies, some just fun shit, go to New Beverly because it's like $8 to see a movie. But they do, like, they're called, like, kiddie marathons, and where they show, like, more, quote, kids movies.
Yeah.
Usually something I would stay away from, except tomorrow... They're showing Batman Mask of the Phantasm. And I am so excited. I can't wait to see it on the big screen.
They're doing a Saturday and Sunday showing. And
yes.
I can almost guarantee you that...
It's just going to be people our age.
It's just going to be
like
a bunch of
losers.
And
like one person with a kid.
There's going to be like a few kids there.
It's just a bunch of assholes
but
like
us. But it's just a bunch of losers like us just being
childless like, people like us just being like, oh my God, Batman. Yeah, that's exactly.
Maybe they'll give away something. Because usually, sometimes when you go to like the movies there, they have like little like commemorative things.
Yeah, maybe a poster. Well, when we saw Superman, we got like programs or something.
We saw like
something.
The original Superman, and I think do we see Superman 3 there?
We saw Superman 3 and 4 there.
No, we missed Superman 4.
Oh, no, it was 2 and 3.
2 and 3.
It was a double feature, 2 and 3.
Yeah, which is weird because it's 2 and 3.
I don't know why it wasn't 1, 2, and then 3 and 4, but whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 2 and 3.
Yeah. So, yeah. But
no, because they're directed by the same guy.
Yeah, that's right. Richard
Lester. That's why.
Yeah, because these were...
It was his month.
That's right.
They were doing a celebration of all his movies. That's why they showed those.
That's right. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's how we got some little... to do's with that.
Yeah.
So that was neat.
Yeah,
but,
that was
fun. we're gonna go there tomorrow.
I can't wait.
It'll be a good time.
Not that it's gonna matter because by the time this drops, that'll be passed. But I'm so excited because you know, it was a theatrical release in the beginning.
Yeah.
And of course I didn't see it in the theater when it came out. I was like 12, maybe. I think 12 or 13. So I didn't get a chance to see it on the big screen because my parents weren't going to take me. But I love it. I mean, I own like one of those really shitty DVD copies. You know, like when DVDs were just like a cardboard box.
Yeah.
You know, like the super cheap ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have one of those. And I've like literally moved it from apartment to apartment for at least over a decade.
Yeah.
I love it. It's one of my favorites. So I can't wait to see it on the big screen.
Yeah, so we're gonna do...
It's like the gold standard, obviously. It really is. It's, in my opinion, it's the best Batman movie ever made.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's a good story. It's got heart. It's, you know, of course, the animated series is the gold standard in general, but, like, this is Batman struggling with his decision and who he is and what he wants to do and what choices he's made that makes him different. It's just, it's a really good movie. So I would recommend everybody watching it, even if you don't get to see it on the big screen.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. And we did go out and buy some more comics. We went out. We also went to House of Secrets last weekend.
Oh, shit. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we went to House of Secrets in Burbank. We picked up a few books. Mm-hmm. I actually picked up a really neat book about shitty superheroes. Yeah. Basically.
I can't wait to read that.
Yeah, it's a little small, little like bathroom book. You know, I guess that's what you would call them. Just like a little tiny.
Yeah, it's
little
a little
book.
Novelty book.
It's a little novelty book, but it's nice to have. So I'm gonna look forward to that, and then I took a little.
There's like Dr. Hormone in there.
Dr.
Like,
Hormone.
Who the fuck is Dr. Hormone?
Yeah, it's a lot of books. A lot of books like stuff that when you get to the Golden Age stuff, like stuff that you'll probably never be. It's like never be able to find.
Oh, we'll never find that.
Like yet. You know, Atlas Comics level kind of shit. When we were at House of Secrets, I did find
more. Something else.
I found a few more, Atlas books.
Yeah, you bought something.
I didn't buy any Atlas stuff.
Oh, I thought you bought one.
I picked one up, but I didn't buy it because I just was like, okay. Because like, sometimes when I want to buy a comic, I just want to buy something that I might want to read.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, I bought, I forgot what I got. But I got a G.I. Joe Special Missions, which maybe we'll do.
I got a giant Lois Lane.
You did, without a cover.
Without a cover. And actually, because I was buying other stuff, he threw it in for free because I think he felt bad for me.
Yeah.
That I was buying a Lois Lane too. That literally the cover was just would fell off in my hand.
But I mean, as long as the rest of it's there, it doesn't matter.
No, well, they had all these like Superman and Superboys and Jimmy Olsons and Lois Lanes, and none of them had covers, and they were all from the 60s. And I was like, God damn it. If they weren't a buck, if they were 50 cents, I would have bought them.
Yeah.
I would have bought every single one of them, but I wasn't going to spend a dollar on something that doesn't have a cover. So.
Yeah, you got standards.
Yeah. But yeah, I would have absolutely 100% bought every single one.
But we also, and I took a little trip to, but I found some good stuff, and I think we're going to have some fun with it. This just came off.
Well, where did I get this? Where did I buy this?
Where did we buy this from? Was this from Nuclear?
Yeah, either that or the bug. No, this might have come from the Nuclear one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was.
So we'll get right into our book, because there's actually two stories in this book, and we'll do both of them. This book we're doing this week is Strange...
No, I bought this Pulp Fiction.
Oh, okay.
Yep. I remember now.
Okay, yeah. This is an oldie. Mm. Strange Adventures, number 198, from March 1967.
Well, we have to explain what's on the cover.
Well, we have to say what it is.
Okay.
Strange Adventures, number 198, from March 1967. On the cover, it says, another startling adventure of Immortal Man, the hero who lived and died 100 times. And Immortal Man, as far as...
Inaccurate.
What?
We'll talk about it when we get there, but no, I say that's inaccurate.
What, the Immortal Man moniker or what he looks like?
The idea that he's called Immortal Man, but the way he looks on this cover, he looks like a half moon.
Yeah, he's doing, like, he's bent backwards, kind of, like in a moon shape.
No wonder he dies all the time.
Yeah, because he has no bones. He has no bones.
He has no bones, and he just collapses under
I have no bones!
Gravity. Yeah, it's... He literally is almost folded in half.
So he's flying. I think he's flying.
I think he can fly.
He can do literally everything.
He really does. He has a lot of powers, but he is also wearing just regular clothes. He's just like got a green button down, tucked in some brown pants.
He's just like your stereotypical 1960s dad.
Yeah, he's got like a high and tight haircut.
Mm-hmm.
He's got nice dress shoes on.
The only thing that sets him apart from your typical dad is...
the fact that he's flying?
He's flying, and he is thinking, how can I stop these fire apes from hitting those oil tanks without losing my life?
Yes.
And he is being attacked...
by flying fire apes.
By said fire apes, or basically...
literally the reason I bought this.
They're just... okay, here's what they look like. I guess they're apes.
They kind of look like an ape.
You know what they look like? They look like when the Simpsons draw apes.
Yes, that's exactly what
they look like.
They
look like that, but they're on fire.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, or like when they draw like Homer as a caveman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So plus a 2-in-1 sci-fi thriller, Danger, the Earth is Doomed.
Oh, no, not the Earth.
Yeah, and that's what we start with. So.
Yeah. I find it weird sometimes when you start with the story that is not the image on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
So... this was a surprise when I opened it.
Yeah. So, Danger, the Earth is doomed.
Oh. But you have to also say that Danger is drawn in a way, like it's a, in big letters, and it's drawn with like wavy lines it's above shaking. It, so it looks like it's shaking.
Oh, man.
Danger!
And so we're kind of starting off with a scene that's like a... it's from the beginning. It's from a later in the book.
Yeah.
So basically, it's, you have this giant man in a green leotard.
Really looking like a 1950s wrestler.
I mean, it looks like an 80s jobber that's on the gas.
Could also be that, too. I mean, but he's wearing the high underwear.
But he also looks like David Lynch.
Yes. Yes, he does.
And he is, he's known as Silicon Man, and you got these two scientist people.
And he's like really hot.
Yeah, he's super, silicon. Super hot. Apparently, he's silicon, so he's constantly boiling.
Yeah, he like whatever reaction is going on in his body is very hot.
And he's in some sort of computer room, and he's blowing the wires on the computer because he's so hot. And
yeah.
Apparently, they needed,
They're like, it's too hot. You're near the computer. And they really needed this computer to, like, save the world.
Need his computer because the computer was going to tell them how to save the world from the black cloud of doom.
Oh, no, not
so
the black cloud of doom.
We'll get to that. So we go back.
Yes.
And we go...
Is this a... It's just like a science...
It's a science college thing.
It's like a campus, and it has all the little buildings have little signs on them. So it's like biochemistry.
I think that's funny that they actually have signs on them.
I know, on the
why,
top.
Why, it's just very, just very
they're not named anything.
Asymmetrical. Yeah, it's just like the anthropology building of anthropology.
Yeah.
Basically, we get a lot of...
There's a lot.
I think maybe you could breeze over this a little bit better than I can.
So there's a lot of jibber-jabbing. Let's just be honest. So there's a dude... And he's wearing a plaid jacket. And he's like, I am a smart science man. Hi, assistant with torpedo breasts. Because look at her, she does. She's very misshapen in this drawing.
Well, it's the 50s. You know,
they were pointy back then. You used to wear those bras. So he's like, hey, there's something really weird going on with this star. Because it's getting bright, getting dim, getting bright, getting dim. Right? It's not... a giant structure.
Stars be weird. And
well, there is a star that is doing that, and people are like, what is it? Is it an alien structure? Because it does it on
I
like,
hope it is.
It's not. I forget what they said it was. They think it's like some sort of like weird, whatever, the rotation, blah, blah. Anyway, I'm not an astronomer. So he's like, I don't know, something's going on. He's like, but I think this is a message from outer space.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to say it is. And you know what? If I do this, it spells letters. Not only that, English. So he's like, oh,
perfect
man.
Perfect English.
Perfect English. And he's like, oh, man, this is great. It's going to take dozens of years to make up a message. Now, I would like to say that there's a better way to send messages. But apparently, some alien culture has been blinking its star at us for hundreds of years in order to send us a message.
It's blinking its space asshole at us.
Yeah. So he's like, well... I'm going to go figure out what this says. I got to use the big computer, but of course there's only one computer.
Was it sickly? Yeah, late 60s.
So,
and they're using it right now for Match.com.
Yes. And
or whatever it was back in the... Did you ever hear that story? About how there's like this guy in Boston who used like this giant computer to like basically figure out how to match people via computer.
Mm-mm.
And like you had to mail stuff in. It was like the very primitive Match.com.
That's funny.
Yeah.
No.
And now they're using it. They're,
well, that's what they were doing
here to save the world.
Well, actually, this guy was—he was growing a man in his lab. This was like the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
He's growing
it. He was just like, "I'm going to make a man."
Because these buildings, like, there's a blinking star crisis in one, and then there's another building that's just building. It's growing a man.
Growing a man. It's the Rocky Horror Picture Show. This is how it began. This is before Dr. Frankfurter like ran off to his creepy house. So he's like, what is this? I think I created this single-celled organism made of silicon. I'm amazing. Also, I'm creating a plot line that will exist in the X-Files in like 30 years. So,
oh, did you see that thing I put on your Twitter?
No, I haven't looked at it yet, but I saw that it's the X-Files and the Golden Girls
thing. It's the X-Files opening over the Golden Girls theme.
That's amazing.
And it matches up perfectly.
I can't wait to see it. It's going to be my favorite thing. I'm so excited. So they're like, oh man, look what we made. And it's a silicon-based life form. Obviously, we here are carbon-based. This is cool. And then so he, like, this other scientist with terrible eyebrows goes to look in his little microscope.
And he's sweaty as fuck.
And he's really sweaty, I guess.
Is that Ted Arcidi as scientist?
Yes, this is Ted Arcidi the scientist.
Ted Arcidi in The Fighter as Dr. Science.
I'm not sure if this is a tear or if like he has a mole on his eye. Like, what is happening? Why is that there? He's got a growth underneath his eye. but he like looks through this magnifying glass in that little... It kind of looked like a Starro before. Now it is a man. A David Lynch man.
He grew David Lynch.
In a beaker. And so he's like, oh no, it's growing so quickly. He's going to outgrow this beaker. All right? So that's what's going on with this guy. And so now we're back with Pointy Boobs and Plaid Man. And they're like, oh man, we've decoded some of this message, but it's only half of the message.
Yeah.
And it's like, attention, Earthlings, there's something happening. There's like a cloud coming for you.
It says there's a cloud coming and dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, and they're like, we have to go through the rest of the filing to find, you know, the star chart for this star. And then we'll put it through the computer. And so then we go back to the lab where David Lynch has become gigantic. And now he is wearing clothing. Mm-hmm. And he is super smart and he's evolving very quickly. So he learns English and reads books.
He learns immediately.
He just instantly goes,
I know things, Bart.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, by the way, I eat plastic.
What's he eating?
He eats a test tube. I don't know if it's plastic or glass.
Oh, okay.
He's like, hence... Oh, no, plastic. He eats plastic. And this guy goes... The guy who made him goes, it's poison to us.
Quick, get me a Tonka Trunk sandwich.
And so, of course, when
he... reminds me of that... Eddie Murphy bit, I think it's from Raw, when he's like talking about how his dad used to, his father used to work at the toy company and he used to bring home toys and they used to eat them and he used to, for some reason they had to eat the toys because that was how they had to live. I just remember, and that's what this guy is doing.
Yeah.
It's Charlie Murphy.
Yeah.
Charlie Murphy meets David Lynch.
Yeah. Yeah, all becomes Dr. Frankfurter, Frankfurter from Rocky Horror. So he's like, delicious silicone plastic test tube. Oh, by the way, whenever my digestion works, I like literally light things on fire with the heat coming off of my body.
Super hot.
And then he's like, oh, don't worry about it. I'll just cool myself down because that's a power
if
I have.
Silicon Man, how come it'd be great if he just showed up on the set of Silicon Valley and just ate everybody on the show. Like he just throws Kumail Nanjiani in his mouth. He's like,
Kumail's not plastic.
Well, but he was like, but you're on the show. Ah, you know, Silicon. I must be. He just starts eating the set, and they're like, we can't stop this. That'd be a good movie.
That'd be a great movie. I'd watch it. And he's like, are you going to become a giant because you keep getting bigger? He's like, I don't know. Anyway, let's go outside so I can see the world.
I want to learn, but I'm giant.
So they go outside, and there's like a dude who looks like Clark Kent.
This is actually the biography of the Big Show.
Yes. So there's literally a guy who looks like Clark Kent who has built a robot. It's like Dr. Ock. It's like Doc Ock.
He built like the most stereotypical 1960s
robot. Oh, yeah. It has like four arms. Yeah, and it's painting the wall.
He's painting.
But like in a really shitty way. There's just splotches of it.
He's like, you know, I see, but what's that strange experiment that scientist is conducting with that queer machine?
Granted, it's a weird looking machine. He's got wheels for feet.
He does have wheels for
feet.
He's
got weird.
How does he not constantly falling over?
He should be rolling away.
He should just be on the ground being like trying to paint while on his stomach. Like, ah!
Why was I programmed to feel pain?
Why was I programmed to paint?
And so it's like painting the wall, but it's doing a shit job. And eventually...
Is that painting really anything correctly?
It's just big globs of yellow. He's doing a terrible job. And then... obviously, the robot gains sentience and he snaps.
Immediately gains sentience.
I don't know if he gains sentience, but he malfunctions. But I say he gains sentience.
He just happens to malfunction while giant David Lynch is running towards him.
This is where David
Lynch... He's running towards him.
David Lynch got the inspiration for everything he's ever done.
Oh, okay.
This makes a lot of stuff make more sense.
Is this coming up on the next season of Twin Peaks?
Yes.
Is this Untold Twin Peaks?
Does this not make Twin Peaks make more sense?
Yes.
So... The robot is like, fuck this, I don't want to paint. And he attacks the Clark Kent guy. And he's just like trying to kill him. And then Silicon Man's like, I will save you.
Silicon Man starts to reveal, it looks like he's like, and it's just like out of context, if you just cross out the speech, these speech bubbles.
Yeah.
It just looks like he's, it looks like the robot is mounting this man who's now on the ground.
Well, because he was the Clark Kent guy. He knocked his glasses off, so the guy's on all fours on the ground.
Yeah.
And it looks like the robot's trying to mount him. And then the Silicon guy kind of looks like he's dancing with him.
He is, yeah.
And then there's that guy in the background just be like, ooh.
Yeah. So he sets everything on fire.
Yeah, so Silicon Man literally sets everything on fire. And then he... Is that sand?
Yeah, he finds some sand.
And he literally just dumps it on everybody. He's like, now you're all out, but I just dumped sand on you.
And so basically, they're like, he's like, look, I'm constantly hot.
And I just got bigger because
and I'm
getting now...
And I'm
about 10 feet tall right
and
now.
And now I'm the Great Khali.
Yeah.
So,
giant David Lynch.
So I need to figure something. I need to stop this because I'm just gonna become giant and burn everything. And then the doctor that created him was like, "We're gonna figure this out."
Yeah. Don't worry, we'll figure it out. I'll go use our super fancy computer and let it think about this problem.
But you go back to my lab while I refine my formula with the help of computers.
Yes. So. Of course, Plaid Guy is like, oh my god, I still don't have the full message.
Now we're back to these idiots.
Yeah, we're back to the idiots with the stupid message from space. And he's like, he went back to like 1890 or something. Or no, 1920. And he's like, oh my god, I don't have the information. Get me more records. Mm-hmm. Which apparently is just so easy to find.
Have they been keeping this stuff?
Yeah.
Have we been keeping this
stuff? Apparently we've been keeping this stuff very well categorized.
I don't believe it.
Like, what if they've been blinking a message at us before we figured out that they even existed? Like, the star itself existed. Like, what good is that? But apparently we've always known this star was there.
What do you think they were saying before they started telling us about this storm?
They were just like, hey, man, what's going on?
You up?
Yeah.
Hey, Earth, you up?
New star, who dis?
New star, who dis? Was blinking memes at us?
Yeah, pretty much. It was like, what would you do if I was there? Ha ha. That's basically what it was.
Hey, my mom's not home. Bae, come over.
Yeah, what you wearing?
What you wearing? O-O, hashtag OOTD.
I think it was maybe just flashing dick pics at us.
Alien dicks?
Yeah. It was
have
like.
Have we been receiving? Were we receiving alien dicks up to this point? And we like, by the way, there's a big storm coming. And it's
yeah.
Like, what if you would have? What if they would have figured this out beforehand? He's been like, whoa, it's got all these weird alien genitals.
So like, many
oh, now
alien
there's a storm. You know
dicks.
What? Now we're now maybe they would have had more time. They wouldn't have had to count on Silicon Man. Anyways.
I know. Maybe we don't realize that the Earth is one hot planet,
mm-hmm.
and all the other planets want to have sex with her.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting so many alien dick pics right now.
Lots of green and blue.
So many flashes.
Yeah.
So I don't. They look through a telescope and they see the storm, which is just like a cotton ball. But it's like a black cotton ball, and it has lightning coming out of it, but like the most stereotypical looking lightning, and it's getting closer and closer, and it's like knocking over trees, and it's, you know, causing tidal waves or whatever, and then we get back to these fucking idiots with Silicon Man. They're in the computer room, and a filing cabinet falls on, I don't know, Bob.
Bob.
No, his name's Harvey. There it is. He's like,
Harvey Bullock.
Yeah, he's like, I'm gonna die, gasp, can't breathe. And Silicon Man's like, I'll get it. But of course, every time he moves, he generates a lot of heat, which blows the computer.
Which blows the computer and ruins the computers. And then they have to get the computer men in.
Yeah.
They have to call the Geek Squad.
And by the time Plaid Guy and Torpedo Boobs come in, they're like, oh, shit.
How are the Geek Squad not did they not see the giant David Lynch in the background?
Oh, no. I think he's outside now. I think he left.
How are people not noticing it? If this is on a campus, you think there's kids like outside in like the
well,
quad? Like,
this
in, like,
is
the
a campus that they create, you know, creepy robots with wheel feet. Like, this
I guess,
is normal for
I
them.
I guess they're just like, oh, look, giant David Lynch running through the field there. I guess. And he
must be a Tuesday.
Must be a Tuesday. Oh, it must be food trucks. You know. Ooh, let's go get
sweet, a mutant freak. That means the tostada truck is here. Mutant freak.
Maybe he can get a tostada with us.
Yeah. Man, I'd love tostada day. So they go in and they're like, oh my God, the computer will never figure out the rest of the message. Now we don't know how to stop the storm. So they like walk away and they're like, groan. It's going to be too late. We're all going to die.
Well, that's right.
There's literally nothing we can do.
That's right. This guy actually goes, groan. He goes, and by the time the repairs are done and we find out how to save Earth, it will be too late. Parentheses.
Groan. Yeah, they're like, oh, well, I guess we're just going to have to die now. R.I.P. world.
R.I.P. world. Just, and then,
yeah. And then, but Silicon Man's like, I have super space vision, because sure you do. And I can see the thing coming for me. And luckily, I have evolved.
He literally has space vision.
It's called space vision. It's called space vision, where apparently you can look and see space. So, good for you. So then he's like, oh, well, I'll just evolve into basically a gaseous cloud with a face, which that's weird. And then and leave. And just as that's happening, the other guy's like, wait, no, I made an antidote so you won't grow into a massive freak. And he's like, too late.
He's like, fuck that.
So he becomes like a cloud.
Get the David Lynch out.
But it really just, he looks like a boa. Like a feather boa.
He turns into a red. A red. He turns into one of Hulk Hogan's red boas.
Yeah.
He turns into the creeper's back hair.
Yes, he does. Yeah. and he wraps himself around what looks like a giant piece of coal.
He drags it away and he becomes super hot and then kind of explodes it or kind of implodes it.
Yeah, he just sort of like, I don't know, converts it into a rock.
And then for some reason, it all just, all just the one remaining silicon dioxide. Molecule block just falls to the earth, just happens to be where these people are.
Yeah,
you know, thankfully it just lands in an open field, not into somebody's house.
Yeah. And then so later on, when the computer is fixed, the plaid guy is like, oh man, it tells me how to save the world. Oh, and it's exactly what just happened.
It says David Lynch will turn to gas and go into the air, and it'll be tostada Tuesday.
And then there's a little dick pic at the very bottom.
also Wang.
Also, you up?
Also, send nudes.
Dear Earth, send nudes.
Dear Earth, send nudes. Actually, that would be great if that's what the story was called on the cover, just, you know, or whatever. Just says, Dear Earth, send nudes.
If it was
written today, it would just call the story Dear Earth, send nudes, and then just have the same story.
Yeah.
And people just be like, why is it, what? Does it make any sense?
Yeah.
None of this makes sense. This is
what do you
dumb.
Think a nude Earth looks like? This is that one without people.
Ooh,
are we
sexy Earth? Maybe.
Or will that be after we completely wreck the environment? There's no more plants on it.
There's no water.
There's no nothing. It's just it looks like Mars.
All the water went into space.
Yeah, it's all Mars. Maybe Mars is naked. Maybe that's the issue.
Mars is nude. Put some pants on Mars.
What the hell, Mars?
The hell, Mars?
Keep mooning us.
The moon is naked too. Let's put some pants on the moon. We're not saying that too loud. I'm afraid Trump will hear this.
Oh, he'll believe it.
And he'll believe it and be like, we need to put pants on the moon. The biggest pair of pants.
Guys, it's not right to have planets naked. They're only a 4. If I want naked planets, they gotta be a 10.
I saw the new, there's the big spot on the moon. I think it's the asshole.
All those craters.
The moon sent me a dick pic. I threw it with some pants on the moon. Here, NASA, take these giant pants and fly them up to the moon.
Someone go build pants on the moon.
Oh, well.
Be like, sure, why not?
I'm into that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We'll take a break. We'll take a break in a second here, but I just want to say real quick, so Strange But True has a little micro story. This is micro fiction, babe.
Yeah, it's like early flash fiction.
Early flash fiction.
Because none of these are true. There's no way that these are true
real
stories.
Real quick, so we have two little stories. Fate forces a landing. Basically, some kid who was 15 got amnesia.
And walked away.
Well, he walked away because the parents, I like that. It's kind of sad because the parents were like, I thought you were watching him. Oh no, our son left.
Right. So they're very sad, obviously.
These are just prose. It's just prose.
It's just two little stories. And they're like, you know, like you would print in a magazine. And it's just like, oh, we're looking high and low for this kid. We can't find him. Nobody can find him. And then the father like takes a train to Or no, he takes a plane to like some town because he's going on a business trip. And there's a terrible storm. There's a forced landing in a field.
Yep.
A farmer's field. And everybody in the plane runs into the barn to take shelter. And in that barn is their kid, who apparently has been feral this entire time and just like squatting.
He was wandering
in
and he sought shelter in the barn, and he apparently that's how Jason Voorhees lives.
Yeah.
He's not your son anymore. He's Jason Voorhees, okay?
He's just, you know, I'm picturing just like a feral child. You shine light at him, he's like, you know, like, yeah. That. Like, yeah, he's like a wolf boy.
Wolf at boy. This point. They should have called it wolf boy.
And then the minute he sees his father, he's like, oh, I am no longer a wolf boy. Hello, father. I would like shoes.
Please give me a razor. I must shave my leg.
One leg?
One leg.
He's got a peg leg on the other
super,
one?
Super hairy wolf. Super hairy one leg wolf boy.
What if it's only like one leg? What
that's
if
what
the,
I meant, yeah.
No, but what if the one leg is hairy? And everything else is not?
Yeah, I know.
Just
that's
one
a,
hairy
that's
leg.
What I'm saying. Yeah,
he's and just, he's like completely bald everywhere else.
Oh. That's a weird. You got alpaca, or alopecia, or whatever
just,
that is.
Just everywhere else but one, no, one leg.
He has all that. Yeah, he has like the no hair disease, but he has one leg just really hairy. That's what happened to
this. But then Noah, his,
see, no, I would,
his,
that,
his leg has werewolf syndrome, which is an actual thing.
Like you get that on one body part?
No, you usually have it all over your body. It has a specific name, but it's
lycanthropy.
Called, no, it's not your actual werewolf. You're just very hairy.
Oh.
You know, you've seen there's circus performers.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. It has a name, but they call it werewolf syndrome.
Werewolf.
So maybe it's just he has alopecia everywhere else except for one leg, which has a werewolf syndrome.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know how that works, but
yeah. Well,
I know science.
This was the part of the story they didn't tell you.
Yeah.
The other one's about
they didn't tell you about his weird diseases.
Yeah. The other one was about a story about a doctor.
Oh yeah.
Who was a widower and he lived in a cottage.
This was just every ghost story you've ever heard.
And
it was a
middle of the night and some girl came and said, "Hey."
Well, no, it was snowing.
It was snowing.
So it was really, really cold, and he was like this old doctor, old rural doctor. Where it's cold and it's snowing, and luckily he doesn't have to go out and help anybody because, damn, it's cold. So he is in bed, 4 o'clock in the morning. He's like, ugh, and it won't stop. So he gets up, obviously, and there's a girl, and she's like barely dressed, and she's like, hurry, you have to come, you have to come, you have to come real quick. And he's like, what? And she's like, no, hurry. So he grabs his bag and he chases her out into the storm. And she won't slow down, and he keeps running. He's like, slow down, I'm like 90. And then he gets far away from his house, and he seems to have lost the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, wait, where did she go? And he's like, turns around to look at her, and then he sees his house destroyed by a meteor.
The end.
How this didn't, and he was like, and she came to save me, because nobody's ever heard of her before. So how this didn't end up in like Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, I'll never know.
Whatevs. All right, let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll do the second part of this book.
Sawate. My name is Stella, and I am the host of Backroad to Oracle, the Barbara Gordon podcast. Backroad to Oracle is a podcast dedicated to Barbara Gordon, the first woman to hold the mantle of Backroll for an extended period of time, roughly 1967 to 1988. The goal of Backroad to Oracle is to examine the character's history from her first appearance as Backroll and continuing through her tenure as Oracle. Each episode looks at a vintage issue of Detective Comics or Batman, as well as other books like Justice League and Freedom Fighters, and modern issues of Batgirl and Birds of Prey. I also keep track of news involving Batgirl and other members of the Bat family, and I have a revolving series of segments like Babs in the Tube, which highlights appearances of Babs in TV and film, Shipper Spotlight, which looks at a variety of comic and pop culture couples, gives their history, and determines whether they are hot or not, Reading with Stella, which could be described as an audio drama, or just me reading a book that relates to Babs or doesn't, and of course, the mainstay literature recommendation. I have been blessed to interview writers Scott Beatty and Chuck Dixon on their Batgirl Year One work, Brian Q. Miller on his Batgirl run, Dwayne Swierczynski and Christy Marks on their separate Birds of Prey work, and the creators and actors of the Batgirl Spoiled, the web series. I hope to interview more creators and actors in the future. My goal, most importantly, is to make a fun, entertaining, and thoughtful show that people enjoy and from which they learn. Find the show online at thebatmanuniverse.net and iTunes, and follow the show on Facebook and Twitter at Batgirl to Oracle. Thank you, and fly on, Babs lovers.
All right, we're back here on Worst Collection Ever with our second part of Strange Adventures.
Oh, man.
Number 198 from March 1967. It's an old comic that's falling apart.
Yes, it is.
And we are doing the cover story.
Yes.
Which is the second story in the book, which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
The Apes with Bizarre Powers. Starring Resurrection Man.
Immortal Man.
Immortal Man.
That would be a better name for him.
Resurrection Man was a DC hero.
Was he?
Yeah, that was like, yeah, book for like a long time and stuff.
When?
Like in the 90s?
Oh, well. What did he do?
He died.
Came back?
Yeah.
You mean like this guy?
Yeah.
All right. So maybe it's the same guy. This is a DC book. They just gave him a new name.
DC's known for dudes be dying and coming back.
Yep.
I feel like Marvel didn't do that nearly as much.
Yeah.
Also, I could be talking on my ass.
Sure. Or at least, like, that's their deal. Like, not just, oh, my God, character X died, now they're back.
Yeah, DC.
Like, this guy's deal literally is he dies a lot
that's
and
his gimmick.
He comes back. That's his gimmick.
He's always dying and coming back.
Yeah.
So 100 lives, 100 deaths, 100 names, 100 careers.
Oh, there's got to be more than just that.
Well, apparently he's just had 100. And he's had 100 careers. So, I mean, he's constantly had work.
Yeah, but, like, new work.
New work.
Like,
did he automatically know his social security number?
We'll talk about it when we get to how it kind of explains it a little bit more. But, like, I don't understand how he seems to, like, be not born. He just appears, like, fully formed with, like, mm-hmm. an identity
yeah.
and skills and stuff. And just continues. But he remembers all of his old past lives.
Yeah.
But he doesn't look the same.
No.
He looks different every single time, but he doesn't have, like, he's not born as a baby. He's just like, and all of a sudden a full-grown man appears, and it's the same guy, and he's like, oh, I guess I'm a teacher now.
Yeah.
And he just is a teacher, and he has a job? How does that even happen? I don't understand.
Yeah, it's very good.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's very frustrating. And this one's just weird, because
Fire Ape.
The Apes with Bizarre Powers, which
yes.
We're starting again with a scene from later in the story where
Homer Simpson covered in hair,
which now he's not on fire.
He's werewolf Homer.
Yeah, but this ape is not on fire. This ape is vibrating.
He's a vibratory ape.
Vibratory ape,
which apparently is a thing in this comic book. But he's a giant
shaking
flying ape. So like think like King Kong size that flies. And he just vibrates.
Yeah.
And it vibrates enough to, like, knock down power lines.
Yeah, he's wreaking havoc. And what's his face? The Immortal Man.
Immortal Man, who, by the way, is wearing his costume.
His costume, which costume officially is basically...
His normal clothes.
His normal clothes, but with, like...
Half a ski mask on his face.
Half a ski mask. So he basically looks like Matt...
He looks like
Matt Murdock from Daredevil.
Kind of. He also looks like he's wearing a bucket on his head,
mm-hmm.
but like a half bucket because it just goes to his nose and then the bottom half of his face is completely uncovered.
Yeah.
So that's his mask. And he's like, if I hit this giant tuning fork, which apparently I have, at the right frequency, it'll fight the ape. We start with this woman who...
Helen Phelps,
who apparently is in love with this man. And she has figured out through his various deaths that she has been a witness to that he is the Immortal Man. She has seen him die twice. Once as Jungle Man.
Jungle Man.
When him and a donkey fell off a cliff.
He was saving a... Yeah. She was saved by him. So she met him. I don't know.
I don't know how they met.
And there's not even like a thing, the little like box saying it's like, hey, why don't you refer to this issue?
No, I think this is just like, and we're going to talk about his adventures. Because he was like, there was a monster that he like guided over the cliff's edge, but it looks like he's riding a donkey and the donkey just said, fuck it, and jumped off
like
the
a
side
bowl.
Of the cliff.
Actually, it looks like a bowl, but it's green. So it looks like the Green Lantern made it and it was like, fuck it.
Give up. It's just like, goodbye, cruel world. And then it just died.
And then he died three times before he met her because he died here as Jungle Man.
Oh, and she's seen it every time.
Yeah.
Then he died.
How old is this woman?
That's what I mean. He can't have only 100 lives if she is like, it's only been like 6 months in her life.
Because she looks super young.
Yeah.
You know, she looks like in her 30s. She's, so she's been like, she's like watching this dude die for like 10 years.
Right. And she's like young enough.
At least like.
Yes. That's what I mean. So it's like, obviously, he can't, he has to have had more than 100 lives. Because then his name is Mark King, and then he's also Kirk Jason. So as Mark King, he maneuvered a deadly missile into space and it exploded.
How did that end up happening?
I don't know. He was just like, dude, dude, going out for a walk. He's like, what's this thing? It's like,
oh my God, the communist missile. I'll take it.
I like to think that he was just like going for a walk. And he was like, I'm going to sit down on this nice bench. And it was a missile and it took off.
He's like, well, I better get this into space.
Yeah, he's like, oh no. And then it exploded.
And this woman just happened to be able to see it.
Yeah, and then.
Because she was like, hey, I got your lunch. Oh no, you're in space.
And then there's another monster when he's Kirk Jason. And he drags it underground with sticks of dynamite, like, tied to it or something. I don't know. But it doesn't...
That's a jerk.
It doesn't look like a monster. It just looks like... I assume it's...
It's like a blob.
It's a blob. It's literally a blob. I'm assuming it's kind of a goat thing. This might be horns.
He hates things with horns.
But then this is, like, a tail? I don't know. It's like, cross-hatchy nonsense is what it is. I think they probably fucked up and they were just like, put cross-hatches on. It doesn't matter. So then she's, like, reading the paper and she's like, I know that this guy is the same guy. He's the man I'm in love with. What's his new identity? Because I know he's going to come back. She's just accepts it. Mm-hmm. Also smarter than Lois Lane to put fucking three different dudes who look different together.
I know. She's really smart. And
Lois Lane could just be like, oh my God.
This is the smartest woman in the DC universe.
It's true. I mean, when you take off your glasses, babe, I don't know who you are. Oh my God, where did Sean go? Oh, thank God you're back. There was a really weird man here.
It would be funny if you just called the cops. Actually, it would be funny, but it would be funny.
Help.
Help, there's random. A man in my house, and he took his glasses. I don't know who this is, and I put my glasses on.
Well, my husband was here, but then he took off his glasses, and then I don't know where he went, and then there's this weird dude who's wearing his clothes.
That would have been a good sketch for you to write at some point.
I should have. I wrote, like, a weird Batman sketch once.
You did, yes.
I can't remember. I wasn't Batman. I can't remember what I called
it. It was Quail Man.
Quail Man, that's right. It was Quail Man, and it was ridiculous.
Or no, it was not Quail Man.
It wasn't Quail Man. It was shit.
Oh, shit. I'm forgetting what it was.
I don't remember, but it was
Mongoose Man.
Sure, and it was like a stand-in, and like Catwoman showed up, but she was a different person. She was Dog Woman.
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and Squab was Robin.
Wait, it was Batman, so it would be something...
I don't remember what I called him.
Possum Man?
No, I forget what I called him.
It had to be something that's similar to a bat, but it's not.
Yeah, I don't remember what it was, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, it was a dumb sketch. So she's like looking through...
This is a dumb comic.
She's looking for the newspaper, and she happens to see some guy who's a paleontologist, and she's like, that must be him. That's him. Apparently, there's a pattern... from Jungle Man to Kirk Jason
to missile flyer to blob wrangler,
yeah,
and, to paleontologist,
and I can just tell they're all different jobs too. I don't know how she put it together. They don't even look the same, but whatever. She's like, oh, this follows a pattern. I'm like, all right, lady, you're crazy. She's probably got a lot of tinfoil hats. So she gets into her car and she drives out past the city limits because there's the sign.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I'm gonna go find him and I'm gonna tell him that I know a secret that he's gonna love me. So that's her plan.
And so we get some like
whatever. What is he holding? Like, so we cut to him and here he is and his name is what now?
Dipshit McGee.
It's like Anton something.
Anton Chigurh.
Yes, that's it.
Anton Carver.
And he's holding
he has like an amulet.
But it kind of looks like
that
a peach
lets
pit.
Him keep living. Yeah, but it's an amulet that lets him keep doing stuff.
You'd think he'd get rid of that.
And he keeps living and he keeps being able to die.
In horrible ways, too.
And he was Hotep at one point.
He's like exploding and like falling off cliffs. And he's just like, I'll keep this thing around.
He's also known at one point as Sir Longlance the Knight.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot about that.
Was he, that definitely sounds like he was a gay porn star at one point.
Yeah. If there is not a gay porn, a about knights where one of the guys is named Sir Longlance, I am disappointed in the entire porn industry. Mm-hmm. Because that's a give me. Right?
Yeah. So he was...
Oh, is this the part where he says, I was Marco Polo?
So, but he learns...
He wasn't hanging out with Marco Polo.
Here's the thing, he was, you know, in all these past lives, he was...
Always somebody important.
Things, somebody important, but then he became these regular people, and he became really smart. That's why he was really good. As Mark King, he was a scholar of treasure lore. Kirk Jason edited ancient history books, and now, as Anton Carver... He's a dinosaur expert.
Right.
Because in his former lives, he was Marco Polo. And he saw the dinosaurs in the fucking savage land.
Like the Valley of the Lost or whatever. But this is like whenever anybody tells you that they remember their past lives, how they were always like a princess or like a king or a knight. Like nobody was ever like, oh man, I remember my past life. I lived during the plague times and I died when I was 8. Like no one ever remembers that fucking past life. You're always like, I was Marie Antoinette. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
I was Christopher Columbus. Sure you were. Yeah. Yeah. I was Cleopatra. I bet you anything, I was like a scullery maid who like probably got run over by a horse.
Yeah, and then he like the dinosaur.
Nothing on that?
What?
You didn't even hear me?
No, I did, but at the same time I'm still confused. I'm sorry. You're right to laugh at me. Because I'm just confused by this. I'm even more confused by this book now. Because the story, because...
Well, it doesn't make any stupid sense.
Why am I trying to figure this out?
Why are you trying... Because it doesn't... First off, his power makes no sense. His name is not what he is. He is not immortal. Because if he were immortal, he would not die. He is Resurrection Man or Reincarnation Man. Like, that should be
Breakfast Man.
Reincarnation Man, because he's coming back as different people.
Yeah.
Because he does die a whole shit ton, and he just keeps coming back. So he's not immortal. But then apparently he's Marco Polo, and he found a valley where there's still dinosaurs.
Yes.
Savage Land, Land of the Lost, all that fun stuff. And he's like, oh no, an earthquake is going to allow them to escape and like kill all the people. So I have to seal it up with my... He has vision. It's got a name.
No, he uses his blast beam from his eyes.
That's it. Yeah, he's got some sort of vision.
To kill the dinosaurs.
Because he can fly and he has like laser vision-y things. Basically, he has all Superman's powers.
He can literally do anything.
Yeah, except he dies really easily. You would think a guy with that many powers wouldn't die that easily.
He's paper mache man.
I can do anything but live.
That's very funny.
Oh, thanks. He's like, oh no, there's a pterodactyl. It has wings. It's going to escape. Not if I jump on it and like... put it underneath a rock that also kills me.
Right.
So he's at this the museum because, you know, dinosaur expert in his current life.
Yeah, he's
I was gonna say real life, but they're all
Carver,
his real
Carver
life
dinosaur.
And he's like, hey, that skeleton of a pterodactyl is the same pterodactyl that I killed. I'm like, no, it is not.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Not to mention, it would also be in the wrong place in the historical record if anybody found it, and that would be like a huge fucking question.
And conveniently, it falls on top of people.
And he's like, I'll save you. And so he puts on his little half hood, and he like half moons his body because it doesn't hear.
Yeah, he's doing that a lot. He's even doing it in here. Yeah.
Yeah, he like, it's like his...
That's his thing.
It's like having an action figure. It is like pushing his legs back as far as possible.
It's like taking one of those bendy... toys, like, yeah. He was like, oh, I got this bending guy, just bending him in half and be like,
or you, just like, you used like, to be able to do this with Barbie, like you could just push her and she would just sort of like like look like this.
yeah
it's that. It's like, okay, you just pushed her legs all the way back.
So he
also has like a super speed because he grabs the pterodactyl and he ties it back up.
No, he what he does what he does is he has vision for literally everything. He used elevation vision, which basically it's telekinesis with his eyes.
I have no eyes.
I have no eyes because I'm pushing them out of my head.
That's really gross.
I know. That'd be Superman. Superman probably would do that.
So he has like Jean Grey powers, but it comes from his eyes.
He literally can do everything from his eyes.
Ew.
The eyes have it. He can.
I'm just picturing
because not only that, he goes elevation vision to push the dinosaurs, to push these things back up.
Oh, and then he has heat rays too.
He has heat rays to weld it back together.
That's right. And he has all the powers that emanate from his eyeballs. Don't you think like that doesn't make any sense though? Like, whatever. And he's like, this is the same pterodactyl. Ha ha! I saved people.
What if he like?
And I didn't die this time.
Yeah.
Win. I think this guy lives for about 3 days on average, and then he dies.
And some, I don't understand though how, because
he has the lifespan of a mayfly.
What I don't understand about any of this, but he has the career of a respected paleontologist.
Yes, you would have to be working your entire life to get to where he is.
Because that's not easy to do.
And he just shows up.
And he just shows up, and it's like he's in the paper, and this girl sees it, and he goes there, and they have bones like at this museum that are like, it was found by this guy,
yeah.
You know, like exactly by Jordan Carver. And I'm like, but he's only been alive for like 3 days.
That's what I don't understand.
He's probably only been, you know, if he's died as many times hanging out with this woman.
Right.
You know, and I'm assuming it's probably been a short amount of time.
Is the way that he works is not like, oh my gosh, I'm just like a guy now. Like, I'm just a fully formed man. Does he just kind of like dead man take over somebody's body? And he just wakes up and it's like Quantum Leap, except the only way out is death.
But then how does that woman know that's what he looks like? Or does she just...
No, he's different every time. She was just like, oh, this fits a pattern. And I'm like, this is no pattern. He was a jungle man.
You know what? That makes... Actually, that's a very
that
good...
That makes more sense than him just appearing as a fully formed man out of nowhere. But it doesn't explain that.
Mm.
So I'm assuming it's Quantum Leap.
Oh.
Only way out is death. There's no leaping.
Where's...
Only dying.
Where's Dean Stockwell? With his little gadget.
So I guess, and that's a horrible thing because whoever life he just took over, that's it. R.I.P. that guy.
At least for that time you're alive, you have everything, you can do everything from your eyes.
Yeah, but it's not the same guy. Your entire consciousness has been taken over by immortal man. So you are gone. Somebody else is just walking around in your body.
But those people maybe know him. Maybe he can like help like, you know, do things with his eyes.
No,
you know, if you're like, hey, can you help me move? It's like, yeah, I'll do it with my eyes.
But it doesn't seem like any of these guys are like... I mean, these guys are all like in their 30s. You would have seen one of them that he just like ganked his life would have some sort of like family.
Mm.
Nope. They have no parents, nothing. It's just like, I hope you don't mind, but we're going to die in about 72 hours.
Yeah.
Hope you were done with your body. Do-do-do-do. So she like drives up to
this
college.
Chick is back, yeah.
And she's like... and then there's a report on the radio of, like, some mysterious man saving somebody from a pterodactyl. And she's like, that's more proof that it's him.
It's more proof that it's this guy.
I think this is all in this woman's head.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's just a regular dude. She's just imagining all this. She's a crazy person.
Mm-hmm. This is actually X-Files.
Yes. So they go to she goes to the talk.
You know what? This guy could be, this could be a good... good romance novel. Or wait, is it, you know what? I just realized this is like that time traveler's wife, or whatever that
is. Isn't that movie?
Where Eric Bana just keeps coming back.
Yeah. I've never watched it because I found out what the premise was and I was like,
gross.
That is disgusting.
No.
That's just like, that would be like, okay, you right now, 36 year old man. Just walk in and be like, hi, 5-year-old Jen. You want to hang out because we're going to be married one day?
Nope.
Isn't that fucking creepy?
That'd be weird.
That's so gross.
It's weird.
So
she goes to a party.
I'm assuming it's his book signing or whatever. This guy's looking in. Is he looking? There's a guy behind him who's looking either at a picture of himself or into a
mirror. He's looking in a mirror. That's Ulysses Grant.
Oh, is he alive?
Yeah.
Might as well be.
Well, he's also an immortal man.
Mm-hmm.
They're all around. And he's like, I look like I should be on a $50 bill. Yeah. And he's looking in he's just looking in a mirror. He's just this poor guy's at a party just alone
I'm
by himself.
I'm a Civil War hero.
He's just looking at himself, admiring his beard.
Maybe he doesn't want to feel so alone, so he's making a conversation with his mirror. That would be me. Like, literally, if the smartphone had never been invented, that would just be me at a party. I'd be like, hi, mirror.
Before smartphones, we had to talk to mirrors. You kids don't know what the hell. You don't know the struggle was real.
Struggle was so real, you guys. You couldn't be, like, it was really hard to be an introvert.
So he meets up with this chick, and he's like, oh, I know her. She's my bae from before. And does she know who I am? And he's like,
send nudes.
And they're just thinking and having horny thoughts.
She's going to send him nudes.
She's gonna send him eternal nudes. Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I hope to see you again. And she's like, I know it's you. So then
she's like, that's it. I'm going to check into a hotel room because she is going to get this dude.
Yeah. She's going to bang him because she knows. So she's driving to a hotel and then she sees now... She's completely okay with this because she's like, oh my gosh, it's a vibratory ape. Like, what? Like, there's an ape flying in the sky and it's it's vibrating a car so hard that a man is running away from it, literally yelling, yah.
Yah. I want to believe that's Greg Proops.
Yah. And he's just running away.
Help, that nightmare's creature flew down from the sky. Yah.
That was a very good Greg Proops. I'm very impressed. And so she's like, oh my gosh, it's a vibratory ape. Oh no. And then What's-His-Face has his eyes again. He has crystal ball fish.
I told you, he can literally do everything with his
crystal
eyes.
Crystal ball? That doesn't even make sense.
Nope.
Crystal balls are supposed to tell you the future, not what's happening right now. That's just a TV.
TV vision.
TV vision.
He has cable vision. I can see what's on the...
I have Vine vision. It only works for 6 seconds at a time. Those vibratory apes just doing things on a loop.
Just vibratory apes doing
knocking things off tables like a cat.
Knocking things up or whatever it is you fucking do. It's like fucking lame ass sketches for 6 seconds.
And he's like, oh man,
getting book deals and shit.
Yeah. So he's like, I'll put my mask on and I'll go take care of this. And then, so we go to where she is, because apparently she's like, oh man, he's going to show up. But she's like, she was in her car, and now she's like...
Is she by a bridge?
I don't know. Is she on a bridge?
She just got out of her car and just looked at the bridge.
Yeah,
and
she's like leaning on something. I can't really tell what it is.
Yeah, it looks like a bridge. Like she's looking down or something.
Yeah, and the vibratory ape's going to kill it.
She's on a bridge, see?
Oh, okay.
And she's watching ape fight this dude, and now he's using...
It has a name.
Air vision.
Yeah, what's it called over here?
Ooh, what's he got here?
Something from his eyes.
Sound he has vibrating eye beams. It all comes from his eyes.
This guy's got some serious problems.
You should see an ophthalmologist.
I was gonna say, I'm surprised he's not wearing like the thickest of Coke bottle glasses because his eyes are always doing something weird. He should be wearing Cyclops's eye thing.
I know, you gotta protect those eyes. That's some good real estate, man.
Yeah,
prime real estate.
Seriously, you gotta be like,
you need like Lloyd's of Legend to ensure those eyes.
He's gonna be like, have you ever seen? There's like a I don't know if it's a documentary, but it's like a little interview with someone who's like the most famous hand model.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen this woman?
I think I've heard of it.
And she literally does not even, she won't touch anything. And she walks with her hands like this, like up by her face, but with like the backs facing out so she doesn't touch anything. And she'll stand by a door until someone opens it because her hands are so special. Like, this is what this guy should be doing.
I would have loved it if when Superman was like, I have no eyes, and it just cuts to this guy being like, that's a shame.
He's like,
my eyes are great.
He's like, I've got like 9 eyes.
I've got like the best eyes.
They do all the things. What if they did all the things but see? So what if he was like blind, but his eyes did all these things? But then would like defeat the purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, but vibrating vision doesn't. I don't know. It doesn't
vibrating
make,
vision.
It doesn't make sense. But anyway, so ape goes away, and she's like, "I knew it was him." So
He goes back to his dorm.
No, he goes. He lives in a dorm apparently, and she's just there.
She's just there,
and he's like, What are you doing here? And she's like, I brought you nudes. And she just takes off all her clothes.
I brought you nudes. And this, since you live in a dorm, I also brought you this John Belushi Animal House poster.
Here's a bunch of ramen. You can make it in the microwave.
A bunch of nudes and ramen. You can cook them with your heat eyes.
Yeah.
Let's cook some ramen with my heat eyes. Look at these nudes.
Yeah, here's just me nude.
Here's me nude from all the years. Here's me when I was Marco Polo nude. It's just him with different hats, but like naked. Here's me with an iPad.
He's got like nude. A whole scrapbook full of him naked. He's like, this is the only thing that remains from my
old
lives.
Here's what I got from a blinking star.
This is the time I was Silicon David Lynch. So she's like, I brought you the low-tech nude, which is just her naked. And she's like, by the way, I know that, like, you're a mortal man. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And she's like, don't lie to me. So she starts crying. And he's like, here, dry your tears with this. And he, like, pulls out his mask.
Well, here's the thing.
It's so fucking stupid.
It's dumb as fuck.
He's like, it's this. And she's like, it is your mask. He's like, that is right. It's me. And they're like, oh my God.
He says, I am the man who never stays dead. Life and death are there only like changing subway trains to me as I ride through eternal life.
What is
this,
Sliding Doors now? That movie with Gwyneth Paltrow. Did I see that? I think I saw the beginning of it.
Oh, okay. That's all you need to see, probably.
Yeah. There's one where she catches her husband cheating on her and one where she doesn't. I think that's about as far as I saw.
Oh, maybe this is her husband.
apparently he's pulling out masks. He's like, here, wipe your tears with this thing I wear on my face.
I don't think he means to wipe her tears.
I know he doesn't, but that's what he says.
What if he was like, she was like, fine. And she's like, I will. And she starts dabbing her eyes. He's like, no, my great eye mask.
No, I mean, he's not really offering her something to dry her tears with, but that's how he tells her.
I thought you thought that.
No, I just think it's fucking funny.
It is funny.
It's just really, really fucking funny that's how you tell somebody that they're right. You're just like, are you crying? Instead of a handkerchief, here's my mask. I'm going to get a mask and look for somebody who's crying. And it's going to be like, oh man, it's a minion. Like, you just hand it to somebody. Like, here, use this to dry your tears.
Is that how you get little kids to stop crying?
It's yes.
Like, he's like,
you hand them a minion mask.
And they're crying. You just go, candy. And you just throw it.
No, you go, oh my gosh, here, wipe your tears with this. And then you like whip out one of those like plastic minion masks. And then they cut their face with it.
No.
They're like, it hurts. Oh. Why? Oh. I was thinking one of those like 1980s masks that you couldn't see out of. You remember those from the
Hell? Yeah.
I had a strawberry shortcake.
Do you still make those?
No, God, no.
No, okay.
Because they're, you know, flammable and dangerous.
Ooh, flame. That's right. They could have burned in my face.
I had a strawberry shortcake one. And I look at those pictures and I'm like, how did I see? Oh, I didn't. That's
you didn't. You had your mom tucking your blazes and you just breathed heavy into it and you went.
It was my dad taking us trick or treating.
It was sweaty and your nose got sweaty.
Here's a shock for you. My mom doesn't like Halloween.
Mm.
My mom doesn't like anything, especially holidays.
Yeah.
So my dad would take us trick-or-treating, and my mom would stay home and complain about the fact that there were trick-or-treaters.
How dare they celebrate a pagan holiday?
She had no problem with that. It was the fact that they would like come up to the door and want her to give them more than one piece of candy, and she would get all pissy. Greedy kids. So my dad used to take us around so we didn't have to hear it.
Take one.
Mom is not the one who gives you the bowl and lets you like reach in. She's the one who picks out a piece of candy and puts it in your bag.
I'm surprised your mom didn't give out rocks.
I'm actually surprised that we didn't give out rocks either. I'm surprised my mom didn't just say, fuck it, we're turning off the light and pretending we're not home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised that never happened, but...
So anyways, so he proposes to her.
Yeah, he's like, oh, hey, by the way, you figured it out. You want to marry me? And she's like, yay! So they're hanging out. He's got a ring for some reason. Apparently he carries this thing around.
Well, he was Marco Polo. He probably has that.
He was just like, I carry around this engagement ring just in case you figure out which guy I am. And somehow it gets moved from dude to dude. I don't know how. And it didn't, like, get exploded. On the rocket. So the next day they're like, you know, let's go for a nice walk or drive. So they go for a drive, and then all of a sudden, one of those vibratory apes show up again.
Where are these apes coming from?
Well, we'll find out.
Oh, that's right. We do figure it out.
And he's like, oh my God, I gotta go stop the ape.
I thought it was just a mystery. Anyways.
So he puts his mask on, and he goes, vibrates the ape, and he, you know, uses the pitchfork, and he vibrates it again, and the ape goes away.
He uses a molecular mold array from his eyes.
Yep. To mold it.
Because so apparently he's also...
He Green Lantern rings something with his eyes.
Basically, he's Firestorm.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's Firestorm business coming from his eyeballs.
Yeah. And so he, like, does that, and he...
And I have a question. So he's trying to use... Okay, so I have... Okay, why is it that he's using a tuning fork to...
Because he tries it with his eyes, and it's the ape is too big.
Oh,
so
big ape.
So he doesn't have enough power. So that's why he's like, oh, I got to make a bigger pitchfork. And...
I see.
So he hits it. I'm surprised he didn't hit it with his eyes, but he hit it with, like, a hammer. And it goes bong, and it scares the ape away from the power lines, and the ape goes away. So they're like, man, that was fun. Let's have a picnic.
Now, finally, they have this picnic, and I took a picture of this because it's so she's like, they're driving, and he's like, man, where are those apes coming from?
She's like,
fuck it. I don't care.
It doesn't matter. Let's eat our picnic.
She does. Yeah,
I made egg salad. It's going to go bad if we don't eat it.
She literally does not care that there are flying vibratory apes
that vibrate flying through the sky, and she's
I understand that she's watched this guy die a million times,
sure. I mean, so maybe it's normal,
you know, she's not that fazed by it, but yeah. I mean, she should know that this guy's trying, you know. I know she's not
so they are having a picnic, and they see what looks like two meteors coming to Earth. You know, they're all flamey, and he's like, oh man, they're coming to Earth. They're going to hit the farmhouse. And he's like, that's not meteors. Those are fire apes. Cause sure. So one of them like lights the farmhouse on fire. And then he's like, well, I don't have to put my mask on since we're in the middle of nowhere.
And does you know it's me?
And you know it's me. So I'm just going to go fly after these apes. So does he use rain vision?
No, for once, though, he does not.
Because there's a barn on fire.
Wait, isn't rain vision just crying? isn't that just what that is?
I like that I called it rain vision instead of crying.
Because you think...
The next time I'm crying, I'm going to be like, oh, rain vision.
That would be a great name.
Jen is an idiot. Film at 11.
But I was thinking that too. I was like, well, okay, are these, because he's making condensation radiations, which those two things shouldn't go.
No, they shouldn't. But he makes it from his hands this time. He doesn't use his eyes.
Condensation, anything. Okay, radiation
is heat. Yeah.
Condensation is water.
I mean, maybe if it like...
But anything with radiation, some radiation makes me think of acid rain. So he's like, I'll drop this acid rain on this house.
I would have liked it better if he just cried on the thing.
You would just watch, like, you know, The Notebook or something, or The Time Traveler's Wife or whatever
my
it is.
Rain eyes.
You know, or he listens to some emo.
He watches Steel Magnolias.
He's got a little DVD player, and he's watching that in the sky.
And he watches that scene where they're at the grave. You know which one scene I'm talking about?
I haven't seen the movie in a long time.
What is it? Sally Fields? Is that who it is in that movie? And she's like, it's my daughter. I should have had more time. And everybody's crying. And Dolly Parton's there.
Yeah, Dolly Parton's in that movie, too.
She sure is, yeah.
My daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that movie. Sad.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to cry. I'm going to have rain vision.
So he saves the barn, but the fire apes are going towards the city, and then we get the picture that's used on the cover where he's doing moon body and trying to like avoid the apes and trying to avoid them blowing things up. So then he does a flash move and he flies around them real quick. So he vacuum seals their fire or something, so they're not on fire anymore, and they just die. I don't know what happens.
Well, he snuffs them out, basically.
Does that kill them?
I guess. Yeah, he basically puts them in the vacuum and he snuffs them out, but then he realizes, like, he looks.
Oh yeah, does he use another type of vision?
Well, he uses his warp long range vision.
Yes, which shows a warp in the sky. So there's a hole open to an alien dimension, which is why where all these weird apes are coming from. So he goes down to his girlfriend and he's like, hey, so I got to close this thing up with this rocket.
So he goes to the college where apparently they're building weapons.
It's probably the same college that where they made the Silicon Man.
100% it is.
Yeah. And so this is normal. At this college. They're like, yeah, whatever. Like,
you should do this through Silicon. You said through David Lynch there.
He's like, well, that's David Lynch already sacrificed himself. Oh. So he's like, I got to do something else.
Oh, could you make another David Lynch for me? Science.
Please, science.
Please, science. More David Lynch for me.
I need more David Lynches.
Can you make this one, but with like...
Maybe not as big.
Not as big. Just maybe a little bit. I'll give you my drawing.
Make him have this hair, you know, bigger.
But can you give him like Elvis hair?
Like bigger than that, though. So he flies up and he's like, okay, there's the hole.
Make him look like Johnny Bravo.
Okay, there's the hole. I'm going to throw this at it. Oh, no, there's a force field. Because he throws the rocket and it stops because I guess there's a force field,
okay,
which doesn't make any sense.
It does not, because force fields don't. I mean,
if there's a force field, that means somebody intentionally put that hole there. You're just saying there's a rip in the space-time continuum, and a couple of apes have come through, yeah. or to another dimension. That's just an accident.
Yeah,
like there should not be a force field. He's like, and not only that, because he's like, oh, there's a force field. I can't throw this thing through it. I'll have to fly through it. I'm like, if you can't get the rocket through, you can't get your body through.
No, you can't. That's not how that works. You can't. Your flying power, you just... He just bounce off and fly to Earth and explode.
Unless he has, like, force field ending eye powers, which I'm surprised he doesn't use. But no, he just grabs onto the
force
rocket.
Force field nullifying vision. I'm surprised he didn't use his eyes.
He should. No, he just grabs onto the rocket. Because apparently, every single time he dies, his eyes fail him.
Oh, yeah.
So he grabs onto the rocket, somehow doesn't get knocked back by the force field, flies into the little cloud pocket.
Now, apparently, though, we get some aliens talking, too. Did you see this here? Because they're like, hey, some dude
fired
in dad clothes is trying to ram us.
Some guy with weird eyes.
With his weird eyes, he says, fire off the Z-ray before that bomb gets through into our dimension. And just as they're coming through, you know, he meets them.
So that means that these aliens are aware that there's a hole in the dimension, yep. And they're already getting ready to close it.
Yeah.
So they're going to send a bomb on their end. We're throwing a bomb on our end, and he's just in there because he has to die. So it's completely pointless. Just like in the last story where it was completely pointless to have that whole thing about that guy trying to figure out the star code.
Yeah.
Because Silicon David Lynch fixed it anyway.
I mean, yeah.
I'm like, oh, so they're blowing this closed anyway. That would be like if you're trying to destroy a building and like you hire one demo company and another one shows up and goes, oh, yeah, we're trying to do it, too. And you both fucking blow it. Like, why?
Let's try it together.
Yeah. What if we put double the explosives?
Teamwork.
What if you put the ones that make it implode and I put the ones that make it explode?
Then nothing would happen.
Then nothing would happen.
Nothing could happen if the building just
stays. Assume it would just come down anyway. What if they did cancel each other out? That'd be fucked up.
Oh, that'd be weird.
Yeah, you'd be like, so we blew charges, but meh.
Meh? Yeah. All right, well, I guess you still got to pay me.
I guess we still have this grain silo. So it explodes, and she's like, oh, no, he's dead. Oh, well, I'll just go find him again.
He's having a thought.
This is the fourth time he has died in front of her.
This chick needs to find a new man.
Yeah, or this guy needs to stop dying
so quickly.
She needs
to go and find that computer to get around Match.com.
Yeah. I think Silicon Man probably would have been good for her. Or at least the guy who made the weird robot. She could date him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She wants a weirdo. You want to date a weird guy.
She wants a science guy. She could find him.
Yeah.
He's probably still on the ground getting humped by that robot.
He's probably like, oh, I'm so sad.
I'm so sad. I got embarrassed by David Lynch. She's like, oh, that man.
Yeah, maybe she'll go outside and he'll still be there.
This all takes place on the same campus.
Oh, it has to.
It has to.
So that's it.
And that's it. That's it for Strange Adventures number 198 from March 1967. I need to figure out what the hell's going on with Immortal Man.
Yeah, I don't.
Because
it doesn't make sense. If he's not in your book, I'd be surprised.
What book?
The book about terrible superheroes.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, he's not like Pheromone Man or Dr. Hormone. He's a bit dumb. He's a bit more classy. He's dumb, but he's classy. Dumb but classy.
That could be our show. Oh, wait. No.
I think that dumb but classy is pretty much our show.
Oh, no. I don't think we're classy, though.
You don't think so?
No, dumb and classless. Maybe that's what we should change it to.
We're a lot more.
We swear too much.
I know, but so does society.
Sometimes you have to.
Society is silently swearing.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
So that's it for this week. And
so
for
would you read the next issue?
Oh yeah. You know what? I mean,
I probably would if I found it.
I'm not going. Strange Adventures had. It was the debut series for why am I blanking out his name? Dead Man.
Oh yeah.
Also Animal Man.
Mm-hmm.
So those are definitely my guys, and I'm interested in that. Yeah. Adam Strange, I believe, was a big part of Strange Adventures in the Silver Age. So I'll definitely check this. We got happen to find one of these.
Oh yeah.
You know, so for 50 cents or a buck or whatever, so totally worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was a dollar. Yeah, this is it's totally worth it to find these things. I'm sure I could probably find the reprints and all that. And that's the thing, like Animal Man was weird as shit too, you know. Yeah. And he was in this book, and so probably reading a book like this, you kind of were like, this is where you put these kind of guys.
Yeah,
you know, who are just weird as hell.
Yeah.
And I just can't get over the fact that this guy could do so much with his eyes.
It's just the weirdest thing. Except in the very, very end, and then he just stops using them.
You think he would have figured something out with his eyes to do that, but no, he's like,
no,
I
like
guess I'll
literally
just have to die.
Everything he ended up doing up until like the last two pages of the book were eye based, and then all of a sudden he's like, I make clouds with my hands. And also,
He didn't use his rain vision. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess that's it for this week's show.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening. We will be back next week, and we will be able to bring you a book. I actually have something I want to do next week.
Okay.
It's going to be a two comic crossover.
Oh shit!
For the 90s.
Oh shit. Okay. Okay.
So I'm gonna tease it here, but it's but I think we're gonna do something a little bit different.
Okay.
Not different, but it's the same. But it's still shitty.
Yeah.
So you'll it's two heroes that have been on our show before.
Okay.
So I think we're gonna do that. But please rate and subscribe on iTunes. Please leave us 5 stars if you think we deserve it on iTunes. It's very important. Get us some visibility. And, you know, just tell a friend and tell people about the show and share links. And, you know, you can find myself on Twitter at AngryHeroSean. Hang on, say that again. You can find myself on Twitter at AngryHeroSean, S-H-A-W-N. You can also find myself on Instagram at AngryHeroSean. That's where you can check me out. I'm always posting stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram, jenstansfield.tumblr.com, and jenstansfield.wordpress.com. And I did want to mention that if you are a writer or if you know writers, I recently launched an online literary magazine called Glitterface, and you can find that at glitterfacelitmag.com. It's basically where I put some songs up there. You listen to the songs, you get inspired, and you write a short fiction piece about it, and you submit it to the email address on the site. So go check that out. Go check out the submission guidelines. You know, like I said, if you're a writer, write something cool, send it on in, or refer somebody else to it and have them write something. So, yeah.
Yeah, definitely tell a friend about that, too. And, of course, I also have my other podcast that I just started with my buddy Joe Todaro, talking about wrestling magazines, much like we talk about comic books here. It's called I Can Talk Kayfabe. You can find that on iTunes. And by the way, so not only were we on Twitter, but our show.
Oh, yeah.
Worst Collection Ever now finally has a Facebook page.
Yes. So not only can you email us at worstcollectionever.gmail.com.
No, worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
Oh, sorry. worstcollectionever@gmail.com. You can friend us on Facebook or like our page. Anyway.
Yeah, like our page. Yeah, you can find our, you just do a search for Worst Collection Ever and you can
like
our page. And you can interact with us that way as well. And if you're digging the show, and share that with friends and tell people to check it out. So
yeah,
well, I'll have to find more ways to be more active on there.
Yeah,
because that's how things go. It's not just for posting shows. There's other things that you could probably do with it. So,
sure,
we'll figure that out. But yeah, thanks for listening, folks, and we will talk to you again next time.
Bye.